I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rick Bucher, radio.com sports NBA insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Rick, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, we were talking about this obviously earlier this week, but are the Bucks better, worse, or better because the East is getting worse?
Yeah, well, look, they'll be better simply because we respect that the trajectory of Giannis is going to continue to go up. I would say, though, that losing Malcolm Brogdon is a huge loss. There's no getting away around that. I think that was evident during the playoffs. He is and was one of the key playmakers on that team. I haven't seen whether they signed back George Hill. I keep hearing that they want to get that done and that he will be coming back. But obviously, you need to maintain that piece as well. It kind of held serve in every other respect. But the loss of Malcolm, I can't say that they are better. You have Mirotić go out the door. He wasn't great during the playoffs, but he was a floor spacer and a shooter. So as of right now, it's a little bit like we saw with the Warriors in that. The top end improves, but can it carry the weight of the depth being a little less than it was?
In the East, are we just waiting for the shoe to fall on Kawhi and then to officially say that the Bucks are then the top dog in the East?
Yep.
I just want to be sure, because I mean, I know that Brooklyn would be good in 2 years. I know that Boston's tried to remake themselves.
You don't know that about Brooklyn.
This is true.
You don't know that about Brooklyn. The East is wide open, pending Kawhi Leonard and his decision when he goes to Toronto. If he goes back to Toronto, the Raptors are the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are right there, and I don't know that Philadelphia has necessarily improved itself. Don't know that it's gotten worse, but don't know that it's gotten better. So if Kawhi doesn't go back to Toronto, then yes, I think the East is the Bucks to lose.
So how much better? Because look, my argument has been when Toronto basically said, Giannis, go get your 25 points a game. We're also going to put you at the free throw line. We know you're going to shoot 50 to 60% and we'll see if anybody else can beat us. And nobody could. Then you're going to pay Chris Middleton like he's the superstar that can beat you. When nobody else is your go-to guy, how good are you really?
Yeah, well, the biggest challenge, again, is there is the go-to element, and ultimately you would want Giannis to be that go-to guy, whether it's him taking the shot or simply putting the ball in his hands. And what the Raptors were able to do was to make, and I thought that this was going to be the Achilles heel, is to make him more of a decision-maker than a finisher or anything else. And they were able to unravel his game and make it predictable in a way that I actually thought Boston would be able to. I thought they had the personnel. They didn't have the discipline and the execution. So for me, it's really Giannis taking that next step in terms of not everything has to come back to your right hand, and can you operate in various places on the floor outside of going to the paint hard, spinning one way or the other, trying to get back to your right hand, and if it's not there, okay, now I'm going to make a kick out. I really need Giannis to develop where he can get to a mid-post situation and he can survey the floor. He can take one step in either direction, and I've got a jump shot at the worst. And if they come to close out on that, now I'm going to go to the rim and finish. So for me, everything about the Bucks really is the evolution of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it is as a playmaker. And for him to be a complete playmaker, then he has to have that mid-range game. He has to have something. The three-point shooting will ultimately come. But to me, the three-point shooting just makes him more dangerous attacking the rim, and he's already dangerous attacking the rim. Like, mm-hmm. that would be a great addition. But for me, it's really a matter of, can he operate in that middle space and be both a scoring threat and a playmaker?
Talking with Rick Bucher, a Radio.com Sports NBA insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Now, Kawhi, do we have a sense as to where he wants to go? Is it for sure the Lakers, Clippers? Is he staying with the Raptors? Do we know where he's going to end up?
No, look, the beauty of Kawhi is that he held to his word in every fashion. Number one, I was always given the indication that it was going to take him most of this week to come up with his decision. When the Knicks were still contemplating, can we make something happen, he was willing to meet with them, but it was going to be on the 3rd. And so things have probably moved up a little bit. Toronto, I don't know if he was going to meet with them later on the 3rd, because they're both of those meetings could happen on the East Coast. And so I would expect that if he's done in L.A., expedite matters, can meet with the Raptors today and either have a decision later today or tomorrow. But that hasn't changed. And the other element is that he didn't weigh anything until the season was over. He really began this process once the Raptors were done playing, and they played longer than anybody else. And I think the other element that makes this so difficult to gauge, and what we're learning from it taking him all this time, is that there isn't one driving element that is making the decision. It's not, where do I want to play? It's not, who do I want to play with? It's not, where do I have the best chance of winning a championship? It's all of those things. And it's taking the measure of every team. And the Knicks would have been in this too. They read the room and said, you know what, for the elements that are running this, we don't have a chance at addressing any of these. We're not location. We're not championship. And if we can't get KD, we don't have anybody that he's dying to play with. So I believe it's all of those things. And really, it's going to come down to him weighing all of them and seeing which team offers the greatest combination. So anybody who's out there who's saying they know what he's going to do, well, unless you're in the room and you're seeing the great whiteboard where they're putting up the pluses and minuses for all these teams, I don't know how you could.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, how screwed up are the Knicks?
They've been screwed up way worse than this. This is, to me, is actually a sign that they're finally on the right track. Because in the past, it would have been, well, we got to win the press conference, or we got to show that, hey, we can get players. And they would have put max deals out to guys who are not max players. They came into this process saying, there's really only two guys that we think are super max guys, and that's Kawhi Leonard and KD. And I can't disagree with them. I think that's accurate. And they were not going to go out and give max contracts to guys that they didn't consider that if it's going to cost them down the line. They pivoted. And honestly, if I believe that if KD doesn't blow his Achilles, he's a New York Knick. And whether it's with Kyrie or whether it's Kawhi, the Knicks would not have had a problem taking Kyrie on if he wasn't going to be their team leader for a year. But they didn't like that. They didn't like the look of that because they saw what happened in Boston. So they said, hey, look, we can't sign Kyrie and have him lead our team. KD has a ruptured Achilles, and so he's out for a year. And Kawhi is just coming off winning a championship, and we're a 17-win team. Those things that they had to deal with came up within weeks of free agency starting. Those weren't things that were concerns or issues in March or April when they were confident that this was going to go another way. What I appreciate is they didn't compound their problems by giving long-term contracts to guys that really don't merit it. They have some young players they're going to develop. I like the guys that they signed, but even the guys that they signed are on short-term deals, so they're not married to anybody. I think they were in the face of all the disappointment that they faced, they did the prudent thing, and that is not how the New York Knicks have operated in the past, and that's why they've been a perennial disappointment. So I don't know where they go. They still have a lot of growth, for sure, but considering all of the things that have transpired, not getting the number one pick, KD rupturing his Achilles, Kawhi winning a championship. Like, nothing went the Knicks' way. And instead of reaching for something to make it look like they were okay, they said, let's take a slow and steady approach. And my hat is off to them, because that's hard to do in a situation like this in a market like New York.
You have convinced me that they're not crazy. So we'll see where they're at in a year or two, and maybe they're better off. Well, I thought it was a home run swing. If they swung and they hit it out of the park, then they're great. If they didn't, then just stated, that they have thrown themselves back into the doldrums.
Well, honestly, look at who's running the show now. Scott Perry was at Oklahoma City. He was at he was with Detroit when they built that team. David Fizdale was in Miami. These guys know what it takes to build a team, and they weren't going to overreach in spite of the disappointment. I trust their brain trust now in a way that I haven't since Donnie Walsh was there. And so, look, they got to prove it. They got to get it done. But I don't look at what has transpired over the last week and say that same old Knicks. Same old Knicks would have been signing Jimmy Butler and Kemba Walker to max contracts and thinking that was going to take you someplace.
Mm-hmm. Rick, it's always good. I certainly appreciate the insight. We'll chat again soon, okay?
You got it.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. That is our buddy Rick Bucher from Radio.com, NBA insider, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.